Welcome to Real Life Poly. I'm David.
I'm Lorena.
And on today's episode, we're going to discuss how polyamory isn't meant to fix relationships or marriages.
Yes. Should be interesting.
Yeah, so let's dive right into it.
Continue.
Okay, now would you agree that polyamory is 2 times harder than monogamy?
Oh, yes. Partly because there's 2 times as many people. but honestly, I really think that polyamory is 2 times harder than, any just harder period in general, than monogamy, because not only do you have to care for yourself and your spouse, but you're also bringing in someone else into your circle. And in some cases, you know, 2 or 3 more people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also have to care for them, love them, everybody equally. And even though it might sound so easy, it is so hard.
Okay, so our topic being that it's not meant to fix relationships or marriages, I think we should talk about some common misconceptions of polyamory, i.e. common trending reasons why some people choose polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the ones that I notice is people tend to think that polyamory is a way to fix infidelity.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, because we made the same mistake.
Yeah, yeah. And we definitely paid for it. And polyamory is something that people tend to, as you said, you know, believe that it's supposed to fix their relationship or marriage because, oh, well, you know, you can just go out and, you know, have fun with someone else and, you know, just come back home to me and everything's just peachy keen and rainbows and sunshine and unicorns and shit. And that is so far from the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Because it's so much more than just going out, having sex with whoever the fuck you want to, and, you know, just coming home and everybody's all smiles and, you know, rainbow sherbet and Skittles and shit.
Yeah, man. We stumbled hard on that the first couple of times. I like to add to that, you know, one of the things that the reasons why that isn't a fix is usually a person who's cheated, the opposite spouse usually ends up with trust issues.
Of course.
And the whole thing of polyamory, you know, really revolves around being able to trust your partner.
Trust. It's a very, 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 very big thing with polyamory. And people don't even, you know, think about that, even trying to get into polyamory, because all they see is, oh, I can have sex with whoever the fuck I want to.
Right.
And so many people...
You can be with who you want to, I can be with who
exactly.
I want to.
And so many people have that common misconception of polyamory is about sex. And now polyamory has such a bad name because so many people just revolve it around sex.
Oh, man. I wonder if people would be amazed to find out that there's some polyamorous relationships that don't involve sex at all.
At all. Period. Nothing. And, you know, my brother, he had a really hard time with coming to terms with my polyamory, because yes, our families know about it, and yep, our friends, and because, you know, this is who we are. It's a lifestyle. It's not a trend for us.
Right.
It is who we are, especially me, more so than him, even though he is polyamorous. Yes, David is polyamorous, but it really, really suited me.
That's a prime example, though. I am polyamorous, but I don't have the urge to seek out multiple partners.
Right.
Like, right now, my only existing partner is my wife. And that's fine for me.
Right.
I think a lot of people need to understand that, you know, with these, when you're in these marriages or these relationships and they're broken, adding a person to a broken relationship,
it's not fair.
It's not fair for the person you're adding at all. On top of not fair to yourselves, because you're not going to experience the love in the way that you should want to.
Exactly. And you also, it's not fair because you also bring this other partner or party into your broken relationship, and then you give them this idea of what quote-unquote polyamory is. So you tarnish somebody who was very open and willing to learn and love and everything that polyamory is, but you tarnish their idea of what polyamory is because you brought them into a broken relationship thinking that it was going to fix your relationship.
And that leads us to another point, but before we get there, I just want to bring up, we have a friend that's like that. Our male friend from Florida, when he came up, he had the totally incorrect misconception of what polyamory was, because he was taught polyamory by someone who was practicing it in a way that only benefited themselves.
Exactly. Yep.
Which leads us to our next, well, subtopic, I would say, with the misconceptions of polyamory. The infamous triads.
Oh, God. And the unicorn hunting. And the dragon hunting.
Well, I say triads because this is one rule that every couple seems to make when they first start off, which is the one penis rule.
Ugh.
Like, that is, I'm sorry, one of the most disgusting things that you can do to somebody because you decide you want to try polyamory. Forcing a woman to become bisexual in order to have that second relationship
with another woman. But that same woman is not allowed to have another partner of the opposite sex.
Because you want to be the only penis.
Right. I guess people have penis envy a lot, I guess.
I believe another big issue in the triads that are being built nowadays is couple privilege. You know, it's not fair for me and you to make all the decisions for the three of us. Because right. Me and you have been together for longer than this person.
Right. And I think that couples privilege is, I mean, honestly, I'm not going to even lie. You know, I haven't really, you know, dove into, you know, looking into other people's, you know, relationships to get too much insight on couples privilege, but I have seen it when we were watching that one, the vlog. You know, the couple that started the polyamory, you know, they added another woman into their relationship, and they, you know, over-talked the girl, you know. They were the ones that made the decisions for everybody and not including that one person. And I think it's something that people do without even knowing that they're really doing it.
Yeah, it is. And it's really toxic, though, because then you leave that person to feel like they're no longer a part of the relationship, but a property of the said existing right. relationship.
Exactly. You know, they're only around to be, I don't want to really say sex slaves, but, you know, to be around when needed.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say sex slaves only because kink is a whole different thing. And, you know, there are some people who are fine with,
I mean, yeah, of course,
becoming sex slaves or whatever.
I know one. I know somebody like that.
But I think the issue is more so assuming that's what every single woman who wants a couple is looking for.
Exactly. And I think another topic of ours is social media poly versus actual poly. Because nowadays, you know, when we got into polyamory, you know, it was really scarce. It was, like, super fucking scarce.
The only club for polyamory when we got into it was 2-3 hours away.
So now that polyamory is on social media, you know, and people see, you know, dudes with two wives or dudes with two girlfriends, then you rarely see a woman with two husbands, like, just happily taking a picture or whatever. So therefore, people who are getting into polyamory now, they're more so thinking that they have to be part of a triad.
Yeah, they have to conform, or if they're not polyamorous.
Right. The women coming into it, honestly, I feel sorry for them because they do have this misconception of what polyamory is, that they do have to conform themselves to be bisexual, and they have to deal with this and they have to deal with that in order to even be polyamorous or even be in a relationship, and they only think that they can only be in a triad relationship.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's because, like, I'll use kink or BDSM. When I first got into BDSM, I realized in order to be a sub or to be a dom, you had to be trained by someone who was already in the lifestyle for a while, because they wanted you to learn the proper way of doing things. Well, within polyamory, there is no training. It's kind of leave a person to do their own figuring out. I can suggest some books for you to read, yeah, but there's no mentoring. And that's where we fall short. I mean, honestly, think how different it would be if we mentored couples who decide to come into polyamory. Will we be able to catch these people who come in to fix marriages or fix relationships,
or thinking that it's going to fix it?
We would be able to catch that early and teach them a better way.
I mean, but at the same time, it's like, how can you want to mentor someone if, you know, polyamory is, you know, like, I wouldn't want to be mentored by somebody because I feel like I'm polyamorous. So now I got to try to find someone to even say that I'm polyamorous, to even be able to freaking, what's the word I'm looking for, to even demonstrate polyamory. I don't want to have to, like, if this is who I am, you know, then let me be who I am. But it's just more so,
I don't want you to take this wrong. I'm not saying as if it's like something that should be mandatory. What I'm saying is it should be extended. Most people don't offer to help.
I mean, yeah.
We were lucky when we got into it that we came across Rose.
Well, only because of how you are, though.
Yeah.
Which he freaking dives face first into everything.
Yeah, I'm a learnaholic.
So, you know, he did know the right paths to go down to try to get this right if this is what we were going to do. So with that being said, you know, if you feel as though, you know, you are polyamorous, and or you and your spouse, you know, decide polyamory is the way to go, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, look into it, dive into it, you know, ask around, you know.
Facebook groups,
you know, there's a Facebook group for everyone. You know, read books about it. I know that this might sound like super cliche or lame or whatever the case is, but it's true, because if you
join a local meetup.
Yeah, there's a lot of local meetups too. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to do this right, if you don't do it right, it can destroy your relationship.
And destroy your views on poly.
Yeah, so with that being said, you know, just don't be afraid to ask around, you know, ask friends, because believe it or not, a lot of people are polyamorous, and
yeah,
you wouldn't even know it, because some people are just, you know, it's a lifestyle, you know, it's private, you know, so a lot of people that are close to you could very well be, and you just wouldn't know unless you ask.
Okay, so now that we covered social media poly, what is actual poly like?
Versus social media poly?
Yeah.
Actual poly, in our, you know, view of it, our personal opinion of it, I believe, you know, actual poly is, you know, live and let live kind of thing, you know, versus having to conform to, you know, what you see on social media. Actual poly is, you know, no really restrictions on, you know, love. How can you say that you love someone and you want to put restrictions on them?
I have a question for you.
What?
Actual poly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into what we stated earlier about the misconceptions, how do you feel about jealousy with actual poly?
Jealousy, now, me, to present on this day, knowing what I know now, jealousy is healthy for a relationship. Not even necessarily healthy, it's to be expected.
It's natural.
It's natural, but it's what you do with that feeling of jealousy. It's, you have to realize that, hey, whoa, I need to check myself, wait, kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's not so much the feeling of jealousy that is the issue. It's the way most people handle jealousy.
Exactly. But if you was to ask me that question 2 years ago, year ago, 5 years ago, I'm like, oh, hell no. Nah. Fuck that bitch. You know, like, I've done it. I have fucking done it.
We both have.
He has been out on a date, and I text him. I said, you know what? Because I was jealous. And I said, you know what, I hope you and that bitch are having fun, because this is the last time that you're going to see that bitch, because this shit is over with. And I realized that that was wrong. And now I realize that I was just being jealous, and I did not, you know, check myself with that situation.
I mean, I'm guilty of it. It's been many a times that you've been out.
Levi.
And I say, right.
You know?
I'm on my way home. He need to go. He better be gone before I get there. Oh, he ain't gone? It's about to be a problem.
And he scared him off. We discussed that in the very first broadcast, I guess you can say, or whatever.
But now, I get jealous still, yes. But I'm able to hold my composure, and when she gets home, I'm able to explain how I felt and what about it made me feel that way.
Right.
Exactly. So that it can be, maybe it's something that can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much better you feel after you handle a situation the right way.
And that brings us into our next topic of this podcast.
What it takes to be polyamorous. Now this, oh man, there's a lot of key things you need in order to be polyamorous.
Yes, we have polyamory tattoos on the back of our necks.
Yep.
And it has the three key components. Well, first of all, for any relationship in your life.
Yes.
And especially for polyamory. Which are love, honesty, and communication. And those three things are key components of polyamory.
Those things will save, it's key components to any relationships, as she said, and they will save so many relationships if you can abide by those three rules. Yeah. Let's start with communication. You give some examples of where we faulted in our communication?
Oh, but they all kind of fall on my behalf. Yeah.
Not really, because the whole thing...
Well, yeah, true. But most of them, you know, have fell on my behalf. You know, I am very spontaneous. So, you know, if I've wanted to see a partner of mine, you know, and, you know, say we were, you know, having fun or whatever, you know, but I just want to take 5 minutes to go to the store to see, you know, him. I didn't feel like it was something that I needed to discuss with you. So, you know, it's only 5 minutes, so whatever. But, you know, knowing that he knows me and we've been together for so fucking long, he recognized, like, hey, you know, hey, something's not right. And, you know, and it was my lack of communication that even brought any kind of feelings for you or, well, to you. Yeah. And it caused so much more problems than it needed to be. Because I could have just easily said, hey, you know, I'm going to go to the store really quick, you know, for, you know, 5 minutes. I'll be right back. I'm going to go see what's the name, you know.
Right. And because of that lack of communication, it leaves the mind to wander.
And it caused so much issues.
You know, I don't know that. You didn't say that. So, in my mind, I say, so what is going on that she could not, you know, tell me I'm just going to go see him? Like, what is going on that I'm not able to get this little bit of information?
Exactly. So, you know, and on his behalf, you know, that whole thing that we just discussed about me getting jealous, you know, he was saying that, hey, you know, this is just a friendship, but his actions were stating that it was something more. And, you know, so therefore that did cause me to get jealous because, you know, he was saying one thing and his actions were saying another. And it just was not making sense to me. And I just kept getting jealous because I'm like, well, she's a fucking friend. Like, why? And it just made me, you know, get jealous and spaz out and cuss people out and stuff. But all he had to do was say, you know, hey, this is what it is.
I mean, but that's what it was. It was a friendship. The only thing that I did not disclose was that was a friend that I really, really liked.
Exactly.
In that manner.
Exactly. So, you know, you didn't say that. The communication part.
Yeah.
So, you know, it caused issues. And, you know, another thing is understanding. Understanding is a very big part of polyamory because you have to understand that your partner might not practice the same kind of poly as you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes a lot of understanding and a lot of clarity on your behalf to understand and truly see, you know, what your partner's poly is. And, you know, take that for what it is and love that person, even though it might not be a poly that you accept or that you look at as accepting.
Exactly. I mean, you practice your polyamory in a totally different light than I do.
Yeah.
I mean, so I deal with and I understand who you are as a person. So, I understand that the way you practice poly is fitting for you.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't fit my lifestyle, but it's not me. It's not my partner.
And you realize that. You have clarity, and you realize that, you know, this is, you know, not for me, but I'm not going to tell you how to practice your poly.
Exactly. It takes a lot of selflessness.
Yeah.
And love.
And trust is obviously a very big part.
Oh my, yes it is. If you can't trust your partner.
No, Jesus. Never. Ever. In the history of everdom going to work.
Any relationship will ever work.
And you can't, and this goes into the whole, you know, fixing of the relationships and marriages, because if you can't trust in your basic relationship, how the fuck do you expect to trust your partner in a polyamorous relationship, someone who is going out away from you and being with another person?
Yeah, how do you trust that your emotional boundaries won't be broken.
Yeah. So trust is a very, very big thing that is needed even in order to have a successful polyamorous relationship.
Very. Like, I guess the easiest way for me to put it would be, if I can't trust you when you're here, how can I trust you when you're gone? Yeah. Like, how do I trust that you're making the best decision for you and that your decision won't directly impact my relationship with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to trust that you're not out having unprotected sex with random guys and bringing me back something, or even not even sexual. I gotta trust that my relationship with you is secure, that when you come home, it's still me and you.
Mm-hmm. And that trust is also on the note of, you have to trust that your relationship with your spouse is secure enough to where you don't start, you know, second guessing, like, are we even okay? Is this person, like, going to replace me? Yeah. And, you know, what is, like, does she do the things that I don't do, or does he do the things that I don't do? And you have to have that trust and security within your own relationship before you even think about trying to be polyamorous, because polyamory is not going to fix the issues that you have with your spouse.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have those, because I didn't, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to look at that other guy and you're going to say, what is so special about him?
Mm-hmm. What does he have?
What is he doing that I can't do?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he get this and I don't?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And it becomes so consuming that, you remember, I used to get so upset that you said hi while we were spending time.
Yeah.
You remember what I used to say all the time? Mm. Like, I don't sit there and text you when you want dates with him. And like, and it's all because I didn't trust not only just her, but I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust that I was good enough to be here.
Right. And that also goes with the love. You know, love and polyamory. Well, polyamory is about love. And, you know, so many people have that misconception, once again, that you can only love one person.
Yeah.
You know, or, okay, we're polyamorous, so you can only love me and him, or me and her, and that's it. So people try to put restrictions and boundaries on somebody, especially somebody else's love. Like, how the fuck do you do that? Yeah. Why would you do that? That's not fair on any level. Not to me. Not to me at all. And, you know, how can you say that you love someone, but you try to restrict them with loving you, or loving someone else, or loving yourself? And you have to love yourself first, because as RuPaul says, and I quote, how you can't, what?
If you can't love yourself.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell you gonna love somebody else? And that is so fucking true. Because you have to love yourself to love your partner. And you have to love yourself to even love your partner and another partner and another partner and another partner. And let this be known that there is no limit on how many people you can love. Even though that might be a rule that, you know, you and your partner might make, you know. But
all your rules gonna go out the window as you progress.
Yeah. So, you know, there is no restriction. There should be no restriction on love. Because love is eternal. Love is never ending. You know, love is love.
Love is pure energy, and we know energy can't be lost.
So we're going to wrap up this segment and, you know, just hit some bullet points here. And that is one, you know, it takes trust, communication, love, understanding, clarity, and so much more to even attempt to be polyamorous. And how, you know, the common trending reasons why people choose polyamory, you know, which is I can have sex with whoever the fuck I want. And, you know, you do you, I'll do me. And that is not the case. Polyamory, let's not forget, people, is about love, building relationships with people, and the outcome hope to be love. And if you do decide, you know, hey, I just want to fuck people, then you might want to look into swinging and not polyamory or open relationships. And how, you know, polyamory isn't meant to fix relationships or marriages. And, you know, just remember that polyamory is twice as hard than monogamy. You know, you have to think about yourself and your partner and whoever else you bring into your relationship. And you have to love everyone equally. And even though that seems so easy, it sounds easy, but it's not. And it's so much harder than what it sounds.
Yeah, man, it can be difficult. But at the end of the day, we keeping it real. This is Polly in Real Life. Thank you for spending some time with us. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye.
See you.